The word today is prayer. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Last week, we began a study of the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6. Here from our archives, to continue our step-by-step study of this passage, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prayer.
We are continuing our discussion of the Lord's Prayer. Last week, I talked primarily about the introduction to the prayer, about what the word hallowed means. If you missed that, I hope you'll write in for a copy of it or send for a tape of it. And we spent quite a bit of time on what it means when we say the kingdom of God. I was trying to slow people down as they say this prayer. A lot of times when we know something from memory, like the Lord's Prayer, we start praying it, and all of a sudden our mind tunes out, and we find ourselves going on habitually by habit without giving it much thought and without taking the time to meditate on what it is that we're praying. And so I spent quite a bit of time on our last broadcast last week talking about prayer when we say, "Thy kingdom come," and we reviewed what parts of the kingdom of God are involved: the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, which is the Holy Christian Church, and the kingdom of glory, which is heaven, which will someday be ours. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will someday live eternally with God in heaven. And so we were kind of introduced to the prayer with those thoughts. And now I'd like us to go deeper into the prayer here. I mentioned at the time that when you're praying about the kingdom of God and His will being done, that we cover that in the Lord's Prayer too. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, the same way God's will is carried out in heaven is what we're asking will be the way His will be carried out here on earth. Now, you know, that's probably the toughest part of the Lord's Prayer. I realize that some weak Christians don't even think to pray until they want something. Now, that's really a weak faith, and they need to really get busy in God's Word and in prayer life and in the study with fellow Christians, in worshiping regularly at church, that they will develop a stronger faith and a stronger commitment to God. Because if the only time you feel like praying is when you need something or want something, then something is seriously wrong with your spiritual life. When people are only coming to God to get what they want, in essence, they're saying, "My will be done, dear God. And if you can come and help me get my way and my will, then I'd like to have your help." Well, that's utterly ridiculous. That's not even prayer. It has nothing to do with the Lord's Prayer. It is selfish. God doesn't hear selfish prayer. God doesn't answer prayers like that. Who do we think we are that God is on some sort of a window shade that we can push up and down and push back up out of the way once we get whatever we need? That's really sad. So let's just assume that you're beyond that and that you're not coming to God just because you think you have a need. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures teach us, if you're coming to God with a need, let's say you're sick and you want to get well. Let's say you're bankrupt and you want to get solvent again financially. Let's say you have a big decision to make and you don't know which way to go. If you're coming to God with something earthly that you want and something you're not told in His Word exactly what to do or what choice to make, and you really don't know, and so you're asking for God's help, God wants you to come with prayers like that, but He wants you to say then, "Your will be done, dear God. Whatever it is, not my will. Not what I want or not what I think I want, But your will be done, God. Let me know what your will is and guide me and help me to understand. Now, I've known people that have prayed this way for quite a while, and they say, you know, we still haven't heard from God. We still don't know. We have to make this decision by tomorrow, and we still don't have a clue as to what God wants us to do. Usually, I say to people like that, if God hasn't revealed through a study of His Word and through talking with other believers who can help guide you and tell you what God's will is, if you haven't come to a conclusion, it means that God doesn't care which way you go on that decision, and He will bless you either way. As a matter of fact, I've also told people this. Thank goodness God's blessings are always undeserved, always more than what we deserve, since we don't deserve anything. And if you later find out that you made the wrong choice, you made an incorrect choice, repent of it, and ask God's blessing. God will even bless us when we make wrong choices that are opposed to His will, if it's done accidentally, and I have to add, sometimes even if it's done intentionally. I've known rebellious people who stubbornly refuse to repent. Well, if they finally are led to repentance, God will forgive them. If they repent, God will forgive them. Well, I hope that's enough on the subject of the will of God and asking that God's will be done. There is a permissive will of God. We talked a little bit about that last week, and I think the best way to illustrate that is with a ridiculous illustration. Let's say you walk into a room and you point a gun at somebody and you say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to count to three and pull the trigger. And if God doesn't want this to happen, He better stop me. 1, 2, 3, you pull the trigger and you kill the other person. It would be utterly ridiculous, you understand, to say, well, God must have wanted that because He could have stopped it. Yes, God could have stopped it. He's all powerful. But He also has a permissive will through which He lets us use our will. We have a free will. If you want to be dumb enough to disobey God and you want to go to hell, you can. That's just terrible. That's not only stupid, it's really terrible. But God will not interfere with your free will if you choose to disobey Him and deny Him and curse Him and go against His will. You are a hindrance then to the Holy Spirit. That is so terrible. I hate to even talk about it, but there are people that do that. And so God's permissive will permits evil and wrong. There are accidents here on earth. There are illnesses. There is death here on earth. But God's holy will is never, ever frustrated. God's holy will is always perfectly kept. And if some evil here on earth affects you and somehow enters into your life, God can still, with His holy will, unravel that. He can turn evil to good. He can teach us a lesson in such a way that we will become stronger. He can take an incident in our lives and turn it to good. He can use it as a blessing. He often turns evil into a blessing for those who love Him and serve Him. So think of the will of God, think of His permissive will, and His holy will when you're praying, Thy will be done. In the prayer, we ask for daily bread and sustenance. We ask for help. That's not only earthly. That's not only the potatoes and the vegetables we eat and the water we drink. That is also the spiritual blessings, the power to forgive others, the power to worship God, the ability to follow God, the assurance of our salvation, the comfort of our forgiveness. All of those daily things that we need, we're asking God to provide for us. And then we talk about forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive others. You know, I've run into a person every now and then who says, well, you see, if we forgive others, then God will forgive us. And they're looking as though their good act of forgiving somebody counts with God so that then God will say, well, I guess I'll forgive him. That isn't at all what this prayer means. That isn't at all what it's saying here. What it's saying here is, God, we know that if we've been forgiven by you, if we trust Jesus to take our sins away and he has forgiven us, we then have the power to forgive others. And as we forgive others, it'll be in the same way that you have forgiven us. In other words, what we're saying is, if we don't have the grace and the kindness and the Spirit of Christ in us so that we don't want to forgive others, it simply proves that we haven't been forgiven. So we're asking Jesus to fill us with this certainty of our forgiveness and the love that he's shown to us so that we in turn will forgive others. We ask God in this prayer not to lead us into temptation. Of course, God doesn't tempt us. We're just saying, God, we ask you to avoid temptation in our lives. Help us to have the strength to avoid them. We want to be delivered from anything that's evil and wrong and against your will. We ask, Lord, for your guidance and your protection and your daily care. And then as we reach the conclusion of this prayer, we wrap it all up with a doxology. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. We give him a doxology. We worship and praise him. And then we say the amen. The amen is a beautiful announcement. We believe this is true. We know this is true. What we have said and what we've confessed in this prayer, we know is true. And we know, God, that you've promised to hear it and you've promised to answer. And as a result of that, we are saying amen. It is true. We know you've heard. We know you will answer. Well, these past 2 weeks, we've kind of given you a fast review of this beautiful prayer. It's found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught his disciples and the crowds when he was up by the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful spot. If you ever get to the Holy Land, make sure you stop there. There's a beautiful church on the top of that mountain, a lot of little gardens and flower beds where you can worship, and it's in a setting like this, no doubt, that Jesus taught this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.